have decided to follow Jesus.
Thank you.
let's have a word of prayer this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to meet together. We are so thankful for all the blessings that you have given to us. Help us to be thankful every day, not just on the holiday that we're going to be celebrating coming up this week. We pray that you would help us to remember all the things that you have done for us. And in doing so, help us to trust you for the future, knowing that you do not change. So help us to be faithful to you in the days that lie ahead while you tarry and the Lord Jesus coming. And we'll thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Announcement I have for Sunday school. Two, really. First, don't forget this coming Wednesday night is going to be our Thanksgiving Eve service. Maybe some of you who usually aren't able to attend our normal Wednesday prayer and Bible study might be available because the following day is Thanksgiving. I hope you'll come and join us at 7 o'clock that night. We're having a praise and testimony service where people share what God has done for them this year or a special Bible verse that might mean something special to you. We'll sing some songs that go along with that, which you can pick. And then following that, we're going to have snacks and desserts downstairs. So we're going to have a good time. I hope you can come, and we'll enjoy the time. And of course, other than that, I want to welcome Brother Siebold. It's good to see you again, sir.
Good to be here.
And he'll be here teaching and preaching today and also next Sunday. So we'll look forward to seeing what the Lord will do there. And those are the main announcements I have for right now. Let's get back to singing. 137. We are more than conquerors. 137. When he cometh. person who is going to be celebrating it is not here. She'll be getting out of the hospital on Tuesday. So we're thankful for the Lord's blessings in Kelly's life. She's doing a whole lot better. And Jason and Kelly are going to be going away for her birthday next Sunday. So I'm going to have to try to sneak saying happy birthday to her in on Wednesday night. That's what we're going to have to do. So when you see Kelly, you can wish her a happy birthday. I'm glad to hear she's doing a lot better. All right. Well, we do have some children here this morning, and they can be dismissed now to go to their class. While they're going, this will be the final week that we look at Psalm 100, but we'll do that for this week. Say all five verses together, Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5.
He's worried about me wandering.
He's talking about physically or spiritually?
Physically.
Can I check this? You know what?
This thing's right. I can't see when I'm here. I can't see you. You can hear me, but I can't. Maybe that's a little bit better. Let me say, sure, it's good to be in church this morning. All right. That wasn't bad for a starter. If you were kind of down emotionally, physically, even spiritually this morning, before you came in, I think you had a spiritual transfusion in the opening exercises, in the opening singing. Would you agree with me? You've got to appreciate what you have. I mentioned to you before, it's one of the advantages of getting old. You can say the same thing over and over again. People just say, well, he's old, you know, whatever. And they let it slide a little bit. But we've been in a good number of churches, and the spirit here is par excellent. And if I was a visitor and I walked in, we sing a little chorus. We are happy people, praise the Lord. You all know that one? And we walked into a congregation, a group of happy people. And keep it that way. Cherish it. You have trials, you have tribulations, you have problems. Family, loved ones in hospital and sick and under the weather. And we didn't feel as strong as we wanted to feel this morning when we get up. But God's good. And folks on the outside of these four walls need to know that God's good. There's a stirring of the Holy Spirit of God in America today, especially here on the East Coast. Them pilgrims came over and they landed on the East Coast. And up and down the East Coast. Now you say, well, we're inland. No, you're part of the East Coast. You've had some hurricane effects. You've had some wind effects and so forth. I thought I was going to be blown away in a motorhome coming over here. I could have turned it off, put the sail up, and saved on gas. Let me say, I'm glad to be here. Your songbook. I don't know who created it, who made it. Did you all buy this from somebody, or did you all make this? You put that together. That's fabulous. They're the hymns of the faith for young people. And most of us enjoy singing it because in heart we're young people. And thank God for it. Thank God that these songs are still being sung in this place. And I said once before, this place, there's no place like this place, near this place. This has got to be the place. And I was thinking earlier this morning while we were praying for service, you all have seats where you always sit like this. I mean, kind of like if I'm sitting in your seat or my wife, just tell her to move, okay? If somebody's sitting in your seat. But I've noticed in church, a lot of people sit in kind of like the same place. You know, the message would sound different every once in a while if you just moved to another place. It does make a difference. We always sit on that side because of muscle problems. We turn our heads the wrong way. You don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you might. But if your head's turned the wrong way, where did I get that neck ache from? It's because you sat in church facing the wrong way. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. And thank God for the book. That is one shiny piano. Started to put the book down there. I said, oh, no, I'm not doing that. I'll put the book over here. I think, yeah. Well, it looks like if I scratch that thing, I'd be pushing up daisies real fast. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. Go there. There's two verses. I just was sitting next to my wife. Yeah, my wife is going, no, that's not where you're supposed to be. I was sitting next to my wife, and I'm going to be preaching just a moment, teaching out of chapter 16. And I noticed the last two verses in chapter 15. So verse 57 and 58. Just something to kind of agitate, stir up our minds. Let this mind be in you, which also, so we're going to stir up our minds just a little bit with this verse. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know which side you want to live on, but I want to live on the victory side. And I know when I got Christ in my heart and in my life and into my mind and into my being, I'm on the victory side. There may be scrimmages for which I don't walk away without a bruise or bandage or anything else like that, but I'm on the victory side. This world, we are not going to be here, okay? I'm looking at some folks who are as old as I am. And I've had a saying with our kids in school, never get old, stay young. Now, that worked when I was 25, 35, 45, 55, 65. It isn't going to work when I'm 75, okay? Something hurts that never hurt before. I didn't even know I had it. And now it's beginning to hurt. And so this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Your treasures and my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels are beckoning me from heaven's open door, and I'll not be at home in this world anymore. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. When you got born again, when you got saved, when you accepted Christ as your only hope for eternity, you got victory. You got victory. The game's not over. It's not over. Life is not over. You've got victory. You'll be passing from here to there, and you'll be with the saints, and you'll be rejoicing for all eternity. Let's not wait to enjoy our eternal salvation. You'll have trials. You'll have tribulations. I know it, aches and pains and everything else, financial, whatever it may be. But there's a God in heaven that cares about you. Cared so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. If you're here this morning, you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't put it off another second. Don't put it off another minute. Don't put it off. I preached at Open Door some years ago, and I mentioned in the preaching service something about eternity, something about unexpected death, and you don't know. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We agree? We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. Amen. Okay. And that was Sunday morning. Sunday night I came back, and one of the men that was sitting in the sanctuary, he passed away. You never know. And he didn't come to church sick, but he went home to glory, as healthy as anybody could be. Here in this verse, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then notice 58. Therefore, because of all that has come before in this particular text, in all of Scripture, but therefore, my beloved brethren, Paul had a fondness for brothers and sisters in Christ. I was with teenagers one time, and I said to them, one of the young ladies, I said, I love you. And she said, you don't even know me. Well, my Bible tells me to love the unlovely. That's going to take a little while to sink in. Okay? That was kind of a backhanded insult. It was supposed to be a joke, and nobody laughed. So I'll tell you, I'm going to give me a sign next week and hold it up. Laugh, okay? But we are to love one another. Some folks are harder to love than others. Uh-huh. Yeah. Never mind. I almost said, like some of you husbands who leave the towel on the bed on your wife's side. The wet towel on your wife's side, it makes it a little bit harder for her to love you. Amen? All right.
That's the side I changed the baby on.
That makes it a little harder even yet. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Steadfast. The same that you are today, you ought to accelerate up. But be steadfast, not easily blown with the wind. Be steadfast, unmovable. You are well aware of churches that once stood that apology for the old time gospel are no longer standing. That's what's exciting for Maya and I to walk in here and see that there are folks who still stand for the old time gospel and still sing the old time songs. These are songs that I was raised on, songs that I was saved with. I went to a Presbyterian church and I sang these songs when I was 8, 9, 10, daily vacation Bible school, but they sang good songs. I didn't get saved until I was 18, but they sang good songs and we're still singing good songs. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. But he asks from every one of us our best. Hear ye the master's call? Give me your best. Your best may not be much, but if it's the best you can give, you gave 100%. Gentleman plays piano. Unbelievable. He's giving God his best. Folks who lead to singing, giving God his best. You sitting here in the assembly, giving God your best, you don't recognize how important it is that in sitting in the pew, I'm just a pew sitter. No. You're giving God your best. Your preacher, your Sunday school teacher, your song leader, your participation brings the best out of them and the best out of you. This is, again, I say, two-way street. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This past week, just on Friday night, I had the privilege of being in a church in Jersey Friday night, and there was an evangelist there, and his last name was Harper. All right. And I kind of remembered that name, and that's unusual. And the reason I remembered it, because he was in our Christian school 40 years ago. A good number of years ago. Yeah. Back in the day and age when I remember paddling in school. We paddled in school. And he was a frequent visitor. He didn't need any heat in his classroom. He warmed it up. We warmed him up, sent him back to class, turned the heat down because the temperature is rising. And so he was a second grader, third grader, fourth grader, fifth grader in our school program. And now he's an evangelist. He's a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I mentioned to you, I think the last time I was here, but somebody came and poured gasoline on the pulpit. And he was there at that period of time when we had to have school in our house because the building was burnt down. And when I heard that he was standing behind the pulpit, preaching the gospel up and down across the country, I said, it is worth it all. You little youngsters down in the nursery or whatever Sunday school class, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Supporting missionaries, it's worth it. Being in church every time the doors are open when you're physically able, we ought to be in church. Amen? There's a trend that we have seen in our churches here in the Northeast. Sunday school, preaching service, probably the best attended service. Sunday night service, Depends if who's playing football or something. I don't know what people make up in their mind why they have justification of staying home from church. Illness, if you can't drive at night. Yeah. But anyway, we need to be in church every time we can when the doors are open. And if you can't, let the preacher know that you're not. And here's the reason why I'm not. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's something for you to do. There is something for you to do. Let's not kick back and, you know, I don't know what I can do. I'm getting old and so forth and so on. No, there's something you can do. You can make an investment and put stamps on an envelope and put one of your gospel tracts inside that envelope. Find somebody's name and let that person know. I did this arbitrarily because a bald-headed preacher from New Jersey said we ought to try it. And go ahead and send it to them. I mean, with that kind of introduction, it's going to cause somebody some curiosity. What in the world is happening at that place, in that church? They care about people. We can't walk door to door much anymore, some of us can. And if you can, fine. Meeting, so forth and so on. In the marketplace, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not where we were scheduled to be. Let's go to chapter 16. And we'll just jump right in the middle of the chapter. Notice verse 13. Simply says, watch ye. That means be spiritually sensitive to the situation, condition, and circumstances around you. We have let down the standard because we stopped watching. We need to be sensitive to what's happening. What seems to be a small, trite situation or philosophy can grow and bloom into something that tears our nation apart. Gradually, and some of it was more than gradual, but they have destroyed our nation. The devil was out there, saw what was happening, and said, something's got to happen contrary to that, and the devil's done what he could. And some folks had their eyes open, but some other folks were asleep at the helm, and destruction is in the verge of materializing here in America. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. I shall not be moved. And that's a good song. That's a good truth. And then it says, quit you like men. Uh-oh. What's the preacher going to do with that verse? It says, quit ye like men. The concept is be strong, be self-disciplined, be an example of the believer. You're not going to move. As you grew in your salvation experience, you ought to be growing but not moving. Putting the roots down deeper, putting the branches out further, but we need to be staying by the stuff. How many of you know somebody who used to come to church but don't come to church anymore? They quit. They stepped aside. They moved aside. They weren't strong. It means be strong in the Lord. I'm looking at you and I'm saying, I don't want to move. I don't want to, whatever and wherever I ought to stand. Now, if I'm standing in the wrong place on a particular issue or whatever it is, and if you're wrong, then move over to the right place. But if you're right, stay there. You're right. That little booklet you got right here, that's right. That's right. All right? You don't need to move. You can stay right there. That book that you're holding on your lap, it's right. 400 years. It's right. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. Now, if I was back home, I'd just do that for the next 45 minutes. Don't move. Don't move. What did the preacher preach about? Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. Get right with God. Stay right with God and keep it right with God. I'm not talking about ridiculous things. I'm glad you moved from bringing in logs to heat your building. I put my hand on your radiator back there, radiator, what do you want to call it? And there's heat coming out of it. I'm glad of that. I'm not saying, well, you're going to say, excuse me, I got to throw another log in the furnace. I may mention it in preaching, but I'll go ahead and preach it now. But this is a family unit. And in times before we had inside heating, some of you might remember that. Me neither. But anyway, you were responsible for bringing something warm to church with you. Besides your body. And one of the best things to bring was a brick. You put it in the fireplace, you heat it up real good, put it in the bucket, and you carry it to church. All right. Now, if this side of church decided not to come today, we would only have half the amount of heat. Now, this side has more folks sitting on it, so we're glad you came. Because we've got a lot more heat coming out of here. And so we need to have that as a family unit. How did I get off on that? I have no idea. I have no idea. Verse number 13. Quit ye like men, be strong. Let all your things be done in charity, in love, in sweetness. Verse 15, the Apostle Paul speaking. I beseech you, that's the Corinthians. I beseech you, brethren, born again believers. Ye know the house of Stephanas, a new convert, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. Here it is. And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I read that the other night and I said, wait. I'm against addictions. And I said, wait. But that sounds pretty good. And I thought to myself, that's something we could share this morning, that we ought to be addicts. And we're going to take a moment and flip through our Bibles and maybe see 3, 4, or 5 Old Testament saints who were addicted. Addicted. I'm addicted to chocolate cupcakes. I have a fondness for them. And that fondness will get me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And my wife, when she gets up at 6, she'll say, looks like you were up last night. I always leave the evidence on the table. The wrapper. I'm addicted to it. I schedule our trips by how many chocolate cupcakes I have in the box. Uh-huh. For breakfast, I had 2 eggs and 2 chocolate cupcakes. All right. So I'm addicted to chocolate cupcakes. Now, some of you health nuts, some of you health folks, you're saying, that's not good for your health. That's not good for you. Probably not. But you haven't seen a muscle like that around too many times, have you? That's right there. That's chocolate cup 1, chocolate chip cake 2. Addicted. They were addicted to doing what was right in the sight of God. And an addiction, you kind of have a propensity towards it, and then it succeeds. It fulfills itself in action. So I'm under the impression there are things in God's word that he would have us to be, as these saints were here, addicted to the work, addicted to doing something in their lives for God. We can't help it. I just got that drive, just got that pull, just got that urge. I'm addicted to it. When I got saved, I got addicted to the word of God. I got addicted to the worship of God. I didn't know much, but I knew I was supposed to be in church. I was staying in Jersey City, and I went to a Pentecostal church. I didn't know any different, but I knew I needed to go to church. I was addicted to being with God's people. And you're looking at me, what's he doing? There's no Baptist church in Jersey City. I was going to school in Newark, commuting back and forth. If there was, it wasn't near where I was. I didn't see it. So anyway, I went there. And it was pretty good. They preached from the King James Bible. And when they prayed in English. The only thing different, when they prayed out loud. And maybe one fellow would be praying back there and another fellow up here would be praying. And somebody over here would be praying. They'd be praying out loud. And it gave an atmosphere of confusion. But they weren't talking in tongues. I understood anything. If I was listening to this guy, I could understand or listen to this guy. All I'm saying is I knew that I had to be in church. And I'm glad that some of you, if not all of us, if we missed this morning for no real reason at all, we would feel bad. Our craving for church was not satisfied. Amen. Ma and I, in the ministry, we're in church just about every night, special meetings and so forth and so on. I lose what track of what day it is. Let's see, I went to church last night. Does that mean it's Monday? I went to church last night. No. It's Thursday because I went to church last night. What day of the week is it, Ma? You know, where are we? And I'm addicted, like you are, to being in church. And that's one of the addictions that are good. And here, Paul is saying, last part of that verse, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Would we try and just adopt some of those to our lives? We might say we are addicted to, and let's go through my list. If you don't mind, we'll take my list. Like Jeremiah, I'm addicted to the word of God. So we're going to look at some saints. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse number 16. I'm saying on your behalf, like Jeremiah, we are addicted to the Word of God. When I asked you to turn in your Bible, some of you may have forgotten your Bible. Some of our eyesight is so bad we can't even read it. Understand. But for the most part, we're addicted to the Word of God. We just got to get the Bible in our hearts and in our minds. Jeremiah 15 and verse number 16. That's interesting. Those numbers are reversed to 1 Corinthians 16, 15 is where we just looked, and now we're in Jeremiah 15, 16. Thy words were found, and what did he do? And I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Let me just say that Jeremiah was addicted. He was compelled to the Word of God. If I or the preacher or the was to come up with a Reader's Digest or some other type of thing, you say, wait. We are not addicted to that. That's not what we want. We are addicted to the Word of God. We're addicted to the Word of God. Amen? And that's what we expect to hear when we come. Jeremiah was an addict. He had an uncontrollable, he just digested the Word of God. Let me ask, without a raise of hand or show of hands, but how many of us have become casual addicts? How many of us become less addicted to the Word of God today than maybe when we first got saved? Now, I'm preaching for addiction, and I'm not exactly sure this is going to sound too good on the tape. You know, preacher came and visited, and he's just now preaching about. But we ought to be addicted. Would we not agree with that? We need to be addicted to the Word of God. Now, one of the things that the devil's done in America is decrease the amount or the capability of reading. I said to you, I think the last time I was here, my reading skills are extremely poor. But I wasn't going to let that stop me from doing what God wanted me to do. And I'm saying to you folks, your reading skills may not be the best. Normally, men, we stand below the ladies when it comes to reading skill. How many would say my wife reads better than I do if she had to read in public? Can I get a kind of grunt and groan look at me? Some of you guys don't want to admit it, and so forth and so on. But my reading skills are deplorable. When I was in engineering college, I had to take a U.S. history course. I couldn't pronounce half the words in the book. And my wife would come over. We weren't married at the time. My wife would come over to our house. We'd sit at the dining room table with my history book. I'd sit next to her, 6 inches apart. I'd sit next to her, and she would read to me what I needed to read that weekend for the history class. Probably nine out of ten times, I'd fall asleep. And she, you awake? Yeah, I'm awake. In the motorhome, we're like one of those bookmobiles. Remember those? We used to go around. That's what that thing is out there. She's probably got, I don't know how many volumes of books that she's reading. I'll sit down and say, don't let it stop you. I'm saying all that so I can say to you, don't let it stop you. Your retention level may not be very high. Don't let it stop you. Take it as far as you possibly can go, and it may be way behind the rest of the crowd. Don't let it stop you. Addicted to the Word of God. My brother asked, how many have memorized Psalm 150? I said, I sure hope he doesn't ask me. Lord, get blindsided. Don't let them ask me, because I haven't. But there are folks in here who could, without a lot of effort, memorize. Amen? But most of us are going to struggle. Most of us are going to be hard-pressed. But it's not going to defeat us. We're going to go as far as we possibly can. Listen, when you get a little bit older, your mind slows down. Mine slowed down. It's in reverse. Hear my wife laugh? She knows what I'm talking about. But we need to get as much as we can. And if our churches here in the Northeast would do that once again, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So God's not going to compare you and me together. But what you had, what did you do with what you had? Addicted to the Word of God. I like the songs that have the Bible words in the song. It helps to remember. It doesn't help us all as far as we'd like to go, but it does help us. The B-I-B-L-E, I know how to spell Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. And it takes a Bible truth and it reinforces it in the lives of our young people, but it ought to be staying right there with us all the way up. Jeremiah was addicted to the Word of God. Now, I'm going to ask you, and you're not going to get out of here unless you can give me all five. And so, you know what? When I'm sitting out there and a preacher says something like that, I want to excuse myself. I want to sneak out the back door. Let's be, you know. Do you not get nervous when you're worried about somebody calling? We're going to read, and we're going to start here with you. You're going to read verse 1. You're going to read verse 2, verse 3. Yes? You're going to figure out which verse is yours. And then while all these are reading, you're going to be, honey, what's that word there? A C-S-E-E. Oh, okay, good. And I'll go on. Yeah, so you've got to make sure you know all the words that are in there. Now, I'm just saying, let's be up front. Because it would help us. Yeah? Jesus did everything that needed to be done for salvation. When he called me home to glory, he's not going to ask me. In order to get in here, he's got to be able to quote five Bible verses. He's not going to ask me, well, that was good. You get a little rank, higher rank if you can quote 10 Bible verses. Now, I'm not deluding. I'm trying to encourage Bible memorization and Bible learning. But don't get discouraged if you can't do as good as your wife. For some of us, it's too late. Is coming. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, make an intelligent woman your wife. Amen, fellas. Most of you are saying, I did that, I did that, I did that, I did that. I've never seen a survey done of the IQ of married couples. How many think the married couples now, the IQ would be, the higher rank would be for the lady? How many would think that would be? All right, let's go on. Addicted, number one, to the Word of God. They're all going to begin with W's, okay? W's, five ups. Okay? So we're addicted to the?
Word.
We're addicted to the?
Word.
Okay, I'm going to say again, and you all say word. We're addicted to the?
Word.
Word, the Word of God. In your Bibles, Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah was an addict. Like Nehemiah, I'm addicted to the work of God. 21 times in the book of Nehemiah, the word work is used. There are an epidemic in our nation of people who are allergic to work. Most folks looking for a job, but they're not looking for work. Nehemiah, and we'll go someplace in there, Nehemiah chapter 2. Like Nehemiah, I'm addicted to work. Physical work, spiritual work, social work. I'm addicted to doing something for God. Bobby Richardson, the old baseball player, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You can do something for God. You're addicted to work. Do you have a recall of when our work week was 6 days? Not five. Do you have a recall to when we worked days, not just 8 hours, but 10 or 12 hours a day work? I took a job when I graduated from engineering school. I took a job with the state of New Jersey, and they paid me for 40 hours a week. I was required to work, be on the job site 35 hours a week. And in the summertime, because it was so hot, they cut it back to 32 and a half hours, 6.5 hours a day. And I got my full pay right over yonder here. And one day I called my wife and said, honey, I'm quitting my job. We're going to Bible College. Boy, it was such a plush job. High pay. I was not allergic to work, but sure felt good. We need to work for Jesus. Work for the night cometh. Work when the labor is hard. Work, work. We need to. Well, let's get somebody else to do it. You know, there are things around the church building that you ought to get somebody else to do? Just for safety's sake? So the door swings in and not out or whatever it is, you know? So we need to be busy working for God. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 20. In the first chapter into the second chapter, Nehemiah had gotten bad news concerning. And he sat down and he cried and he wept bitterly and he was just brokenhearted. Then answered I them, verse 20, and said unto them, the God of heaven, in face of all this disaster, in the face of that, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will arise and build. Now, thank God you have what you have here, and nobody's talking about a building program. Thank God that the windows are in place, the floor is down, chairs and so forth. So we're not talking a whole lot about physical work, but we do need to work. We need to do some physical work. We need to do some spiritual work. Let me suggest to you, praying is work. Praying is work. Let's raise up a mighty army here of prayer warriors. We don't need a scheduled time to assemble, although it's nothing inappropriate with it, but we don't need a scheduled time to come to the church building and pray. It's good to have it. It's good to encourage one another, but we still ought to pray. We have in churches said we're going to have a all-night prayer meeting. Well, that sounds good, and it is good, but we don't need to have the church proper call for an all-night prayer meeting. Now, if you can't stay up all night, there's nothing that God, well, I don't know, maybe. But God doesn't want to hear you snoring. All right? Your intent is good. Now, I'll wake up in the middle of the night, early in the morning, early in the morning, and I'll blame bed and pray. And I'll apologize to God because I'm going to fall asleep. You ought to be better disciplined than that. That's fine. I ought to be, but I'm not, so therefore I'm still going to pray. I still am going to pray. I say, Lord, I know in about 7-8 minutes, I'm going to be asleep. Excuse me, but I'm going to pray for those 7-8 minutes. I'm not going to dream about my golf game. I'm not going to dream about whatever I would be. No, I'm going to fall asleep praying. Oh, no, that's not very spiritual. Why is that bald-headed preacher up there telling us he falls asleep praying? I think we're a little better off doing that than we are thinking about who's going to win the World Series or something.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that you ought to put that into practice. But if you wake up and you can't get back to sleep, what a better thing to do than pray. Amen. Nehemiah worked physically to rebuild the wall. But in the midst of that, he was communing with God. Discerning and deciding what God had for him and his people. Just flip over another page or two. Chapter 4 and verse 6. Nehemiah worked at praying. He worked. Jeremiah, he was addicted to the word of God. Chapter 4, verse 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. Hey, let's not get on somebody who can't do physically what you can do. Work days. How come you didn't come to work day? If I bent over, I wouldn't get back up again. That's not me, but I mean, that's, you know. So let's not get. But when we can, we ought to. What you're sitting in here, and I do not know the history of this place, but somebody worked to build this place. Somebody worked yesterday to clean this place. Somebody, and as a body of believers, we need to work. This community needs to see that this is like a little beehive. Every time I ride by there, they're doing something. Everybody, and they need to see that. Why? Because they're going to need the bee. They're going to need the honey. From that beehive. There's honey in this place. So let's say we have an addiction to the Word of God and to the work of God. Allow me one more. Nehemiah 6 and verse 15. The Bible says, so the wall was finished. So the wall was finished. Well, how did that happen? They had a mind to work. They had a mind to work. I'm glad that you do have a mind to work. What is one man's work is another man's pleasure. So I decided a long, long time ago I was going to take pleasure in serving God. Pleasure in serving God. It's been a thrilling road. It's been an exciting road. I mentioned last time I was here, Ma had 160 people live in our home. Not at one time. For at least a week or longer. I think it may have been one of the first young ladies that came, Ms. Burris. She's now in what, 60s? Now, we don't take her in that motorhome, but she's staying with my daughter. Okay? But mine, to work, to do something for God. Whatever you all can do, do it. Don't be ashamed of it. So the wall was finished, and I'm glad that work is not a bad word. Joshua 24. Jeremiah was addicted, compelled to the word of God. Nehemiah was addicted, compelled to the work of God. Joshua was addicted to the will of God. To the will of God. You know this verse, Joshua 24 and 15. And if it seem evil, hard, difficult, out of the ordinary unto you to serve the Lord. If it's just, what are you doing going to church? You know, you, people at work or people in the neighborhood. So, you go to church, church, church. That's all you ever do is go to church. Amen. What a testimony. I mean, isn't that great where somebody says, you spend your whole life in church. You probably have family members who are accusing you of that. You know, you have church service on Wednesday night. And that means we can't leave uncertain. You know, it's all you ever do is go to church. That's a testimony in itself. God means that much to your family. God means that much. We're going to be in church every time the doors are open. When we're physically capable of doing that. Joshua was addicted to the will of God. Let me read that verse for you. And if it seem evil, difficult unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. That decision is a repetitive decision, an ongoing, choose you this day whom you will serve. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Choose you this day and tomorrow morning. Choose you this day and the next morning. Choose you this day. Well, I'm a pastor and Monday's my day off. Choose you this day. Choose you this day. You don't know where I'm at, neither do I. Joshua 24 and verse 15. All right, Joshua 24 and verse 15. Choose you this day. Every day of your life, you're choosing to serve God. I've enjoyed the ministry. One of the reasons I've enjoyed the ministry, you don't get a day off. You don't get a day off. Every day is the Lord's day. Every day belongs to God. Every day is the Lord's day. We do different things on that Sunday, Lord's day, but let's stay right with it. Joshua was addicted to the will of God. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Have you decided you're going to serve God? Now you'll do that in various capacities. You're going to serve God by going off to work Monday. Man doesn't work. The Bible says what? Shouldn't eat. So we're going to serve God. It's not like we're going to serve God. We're going to do his will. Joshua, in the last part of that verse, said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's go back to being a creative just a little bit and do some unusual things for your neighbor, Thanksgiving time, for your neighbor. Just do something out of the ordinary. Why? Because we love the Lord, and I know God loves you. In some way, somehow, he just sent me by to rake your leaves or whatever it is. I just want you to know that God loves you, and our people here at our church love you, and we're going to do what we possibly can for you. Amen? I'm walking on thin ice with this. You know, it's interesting how we, in years past, in our church, had food banks place where people could come, or we would make up the Thanksgiving baskets and stuff like that. With the advent of, give me a couple of the coffee places where they serve the bagels and stuff. Who? Okay, Dunkin' Donuts. They have leftovers. So what do? They call the church and says, we've got leftovers. I'm trying to think of that other place where you get soup in a...
Soup kitchen.
Who? Soup kitchen. No, this is a place where it costs you a whole lot of money, Ma. Who? Panera Bread. All right? They're known for calling churches, and they have, you know, leftovers. And so now the church can be very benevolent. Come. You know, it didn't cost you anything. Maybe you had to get in the car, go down there and pick them up. But now you're benevolent. When it costs us something, a little bit of our benevolence goes out the window. Let's be all of what God wants us to be. I don't know if you've ever done it, but every once in a while you might want to buy somebody in a whatever, something nice, in a restaurant. We were in some place in somewhere. And we stopped for lunch, and we ordered and so forth. And we're always running on a tight budget. And so we prayed before our meal, and it was all over. The waitress gave us the bill, and it says, have a great day, or something to that effect. I said, what does that mean? It means that other couple here paid your bill. I didn't know that, but they went ahead and paid the bill. I said to our church back at home at Open Door, if you're in a restaurant and you see somebody pray, pay their bill. Now, in Jersey, you can do that because nobody prays in Jersey. It won't cost you a cent. Yeah, out here, it's a little different. You know, there's a little bit more spiritual culture. Okay, but in Jersey, you know. But if you do see somebody, if you can, offer to pay. If it's a family of 20, no. But if it's a family of 2, 3, you know, what do we do? Here's something you can read. This is why I'm doing it. I love the Lord. The Lord loves me. And you know what? The Lord loves you. Heavenly Father, bless these dear folks. Something that was said, I trust, would be a help. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for attentiveness.